party tonight!
What?
TV party tonight!
Oh!
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Don't want to talk about anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated, yes,
to our favorite shows.
Oh, my circuits.
Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Scary Dog.
Pearson at Blurnsville.
Futurama.
Good evening. You are listening to a Rattlesnake Broadcasting premiere podcast TV party tonight. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, but not nearly as mortified as everybody else who saw tonight's topic, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly. I don't speak French. Mignones, otherwise known as Cuties, which made its debut at Sundance, January 23rd, 2020, and then in France in theaters, August 19th, 2020, and then at some point along the way got purchased by Netflix for distribution through their streaming site, which I believe was on September 9th, 2020. And we're talking about Cuties tonight because the nature of the film and its subject matter has stoked a lot of controversy. People have some have a lot of feelings about this movie. Some have argued that it sexualizes young girls. Netflix didn't do themselves any favors by changing the marketing for it so that it focused on what really is the central problem of the movie for people, which is scenes of lurid dancing by 11-year-old girls, and they focused right on that. So the reason why I knew about it was because of the cancel Netflix Twitter barrage that came out of it. And amongst my podcasting friends, a debate broke out, and there were people with very strong feelings against the movie. There were some of us who were able to contextualize it a little bit more and kind of see what the point is. And when this argument broke out, I hadn't actually seen the movie yet. I happen to be somebody who believes in one of the core values of free speech is that some free speech is going to make you uncomfortable. Some free speech is going to be hard to hear or to see, but I think it needs to be out there. And so without even seeing the film, I kind of came down strongly, you know, in its defense, and and that was met with counter arguments of, but 11-year-old girls twerking. So I sat and watched the movie, and I have thoughts, but more importantly, my co-host has questions. Ladies and gentlemen, he's back with us again. He just got back on his own podcast for one show where we talked about Punisher the Platoon. Tonight, he's going to ask me a bunch of questions, even though he hasn't seen the movie yet, because he is, one, interested in what my thoughts were, and two, I think just felt like an even-handed conversation about the movie was appropriate and needed to happen on this network, and he wanted to be a part of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Starcher, how do you do, sir?
Mark Rattledge, thank you for bringing me in there. This was clearly, still is, a topic of very spirited and, just debate and controversy over this film. So, yeah, the main way that this kind of all broke down, Mark kind of gave you an idea. Mark hadn't seen the film, and as a matter of fact, I think, Mark, you weren't planning on seeing it at any point.
I don't know. When the controversy broke, I actually thought it was a documentary about dance troupes.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was like, no, it's a piece of fiction. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even know it was a French film. I really didn't know what it was. I just saw the cancel Netflix thing, and oh my God, girls dancing. You know, and I was just like, well, I don't care about any of that. So I wasn't going to watch the movie because this doesn't, its subject matter, which is the gross sexualization of women and girls in our in global culture. While I think that's bad, I don't think, you know, what a brave stance. Sexualizing women and girls is bad. Nazis are bad. I mean, like, it takes absolutely no courage to stand for those things. So I wasn't going to watch the movie because, like I get it, and, you know, I it's just not something that interests me on an entertainment level. I have other things I have to watch. You should see the list of shows I got to get through before the end of the year for various podcasts. But when the argument broke out and I'm seeing people take such strong stances, I mean, you know, it got pretty volatile. And I was like, well, now I need to know what in the hell has them so hot and bothered.
Sure.
And I think more than anything else, that's what got me to watch the film. Was like, well, clearly, you know, I'm taking up the stance that this woman has the right to make the film that's in her heart, and, you know, and take up the agenda that's meaningful to her, and I'm defending her. I should probably know what she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so yeah, you were at initially not going to watch it, and then of course the discussion happened, and I said, hey, if you watch it, I'll talk to you about it. We'll have a discussion on a podcast. I'm not going to watch this film. And a lot of it has to do with the fact of what's in it. And that I just real quick to tell you kind of what happened the night that we had the discussion. I told my wife, I said, have you ever heard of this movie? She said, no. I said, okay, well, I asked my 15-year-old daughter, have you ever heard of this movie? She's like, yeah, I've heard about it for the last month. So that tells you where the schism is.
Way to enter the conversation, Oldie McGee.
So Mindy grabs her phone, and she's looking at, of course, the clips that have been making their rounds to show what's going on in this movie.
Can I ask you a question?
Now,
that clip, was it just the final dance scene when they're in their black and teal dance outfits, or was it various clips from throughout the movie where they're dancing in, like, the park or by train tracks?
I can't tell you because my wife handed me the phone, or tried to hand me the phone. I was like, no, I'm not even interested to look at that.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, that's supposedly the worst parts of this movie anyway. That's what got everybody upset in the first place.
Right.
But I can tell you that my wife's jaw dropped. Now, this is a lady who's, for the past 11 years, at least a portion of Kira's livelihood, we took her to dance class. So Mindy is familiar with dancing and the outfits and all that. But I think what got to her was, you know, what was being shown. So we'll talk about that because that's some of the questions that I have for you. But I want to definitely set everybody, at least give everybody out there that's listening to this, some caveats first off.
That were two middle-aged men about to discuss dancing of 11-year-old girls. Get ready, folks. Boy, if there are two people on Earth more equipped to talk about a French film featuring 11-year-old booty dancing, it's two middle-aged white men.
So, like I said, Mark watched the movie. I did not. We aren't experts in the field, although I would say that you, sir, probably would have a better handle of some of the more, I guess, mental danger that's happening here in regards to possibly a crime being committed against a child or whatever. So I give you the nod there because I have no idea. I'm not an expert. We're not here to change each other's minds. Okay, I'm not going to try and change Mark's mind and make him think, oh my goodness, I'm a horrible person. This isn't a gotcha episode where I'm going to back him in a corner and then have him admit to being a pedophile. That's not happening here. It's not going to happen.
Let me say, we're not here to change anyone's minds. We're Jesse and I are going to have a discussion. And I'm kind of entrenched in how I feel. He's entrenched in how he feels. But we can be entrenched in our opinions and have a discussion. I'm willing to answer some questions about the way I think about this film, with, you know, under the caveat that I'm not going to get, like, you know, judged and harangued. But for people who listen to this, If you've already made up your mind about the film, feel free to keep listening. I would invite you to. I certainly appreciate that. But I'm not looking to change your mind either.
Yeah.
This is a challenge and a really odd TV party, because we normally just like review the craft of a television show. And this is partially going to be a craft review and partially a discussion of the agenda and the themes. And if you agree that, you know, if you agree with the way, with the craft of the film and the way that it was shot, which is what's being criticized, okay, well, great. If you don't, okay, great. For those of you who maybe haven't seen it, but were interested to hear what we had to say on it, you know, this is kind of more for that group. Mm-hmm. You know, to say, like, this is what we think about these things, and do with them what you will. But I'm not expecting to publish this and people to listen to it and go, he's right, and like suddenly abandon
exactly
whatever, you know, whatever they're thinking about things. It takes, in most cases, it should take more than one podcast, you know, one guy ranting, to convince you to, you know, abandon your thoughts and principles and whatnot. So I'm not expecting that at all.
Yeah, and we want to make everybody aware that this is a very, if you're not already, this is obviously a very touchy subject that has a lot of passionate and strong opinions behind it, and we understand that. So we're going to do our best to keep it professional as possible here. If we laugh, trust me, it's just because me and Mark think we're funny. You may not. So, but yeah. So here we go, Mark. I'm going to hop in here. I'm not going to go to the questions just yet. I grabbed a few things here. Maybe some definitions would be probably.
Okay, before you do this, I do want to read something from the wiki.
Okay.
Because I think context is important.
Sure.
As Eric Bischoff would say, context is king. And the production notes on this, I think, whether you agree or disagree, I think it's important to know how this film was made. Because those were some questions that were asked in the initial chat conversation that took place. Well, you know, was I got one of the, somebody asked me a gotcha question, like, well, what if it was your daughter? Would you let her be in this movie? Mm. You know, and that brought up some other questions. So I just want to read, it's three paragraphs. I just want to read these so that people understand what all went into making this and what this movie is supposed to be. The film was announced by filmmaker, I'm going to butcher this woman's name, Maimouna Doucouré, as her directorial venture. You know, the sad thing about that is I heard somebody else review this movie and pronounce it correctly, and I don't remember what the... They could have said ham sandwich. I don't remember what it was. Sam Keith. She rose to prominence with her award-winning 2016 short film, Mamans, which was selected and premiered in over 200 film festivals and won 60 awards in several international film festivals. So she's not, you know, she didn't make Velocipaster. Doucouré penned the script for Cuties, taking her life experience as a refugee girl into account. The script eventually won Sundance's Global Filmmaking Award in 2017. Doucouré says her inspiration for the film was a talent show in Paris that she happened to see. So that she's drawing from a real-life thing that happened. She says the contrast of the dancing and the traditional garb of the families in the audience was fascinating. She also based it on her own experience with the contrast of cultures of France and Senegal. Casting for the film took nearly 6 months. Approximately 650 girls auditioned for the main character. Ultimately, 11-year-old Fatithia Youssef was chosen. Filming took place in various locations around France over a period of 3 months. Doucouré said she created a climate of trust between the children and myself, that's a quote, during filming. She stated, while working on the film, I explained to them everything I was doing and the research that I had done before I wrote this story. I was also lucky that these girls' parents were also activists, so we were all on the same side. See, that's important to know. At their age, they've seen this kind of dance. I'm going to say that again. At their age, they've seen this kind of dance. Any mm-hmm. child with a telephone, can find these images on social media these days. She also stated she worked with a child psychologist during filming. Doucouré spent nearly 18 months researching studies on how young and preteen children are being exposed to adult content and sexualized images on social media in order to showcase the accurate reality in the film. She spoke to many young girls about these issues. She says that the film, and this is the heart of the matter, she says the film deals with self-image and social media. Our girls see the more a woman is overly sexualized on social media, the more she's successful. And the children just imitate what they see, trying to achieve the same result without understanding the meaning, and yet it's dangerous. She says that although watching the film may be difficult, it is important to have a conversation in society about these issues. Jesse, you know what I was thinking about when while I was watching this?
Tell me.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you grew up watching wrestling, you know, superstars on Saturday morning, WWE? Maybe you watched, you know, some of Crockett, you know, NWA stuff. Do you remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So do you know how you would watch wrestlers body slam and atomic drop and clothesline each other, and then you and your friends would go out in the field and fucking drop each other on your heads?
Yes, sir.
That's what that reminded me of.
Okay.
That as children, you see things, and without context and supervision, you will go and imitate these things because they look cool to you.
Sure.
They appeal to you on some level. And so whether it's sexualized dancing or dropping your best buddy on his head, I feel like the central issue is that children, again, without supervision,
yep,
will go and do the thing they think is cool and not realize the consequences of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, trust me. It's, even though I haven't watched the film, I've read the wiki, and that I understand where the director is. I understand what the director's trying to do here. I understand that she's trying to show you that, you know, in adolescence like this, we look up to these things that, in all reality, we shouldn't be looking towards.
Right.
I've got, you know, we both have kids. We probably see it in our own children.
So I think the central question with this movie becomes, In an effort to do a movie about sexualizing women and girls, did she do a good job of that? And were her directorial choices appropriate for the subject matter?
That's right. That will be. We're going to touch on that. That's one of the questions, or at least a form of the question we're going to be asking here later. So yeah, let me go ahead and lay some Google facts out there real quick, just stuff I copied and pasted here. A child, according to the United Nations Convention of the Rights of the Child, defines child as a human being below the age of 18 years, unless under the law applicable to the child majority is attained earlier. In U.S. immigration law, a child refers to anyone who is under the age of 21. Child pornography, as defined by the justice.gov, website, is a form of child sexual exploitation. Federal law defines child pornography as any visual depiction of sexually explicit conduct involving a minor, persons less than 18 years old. Sexualization. According to the American Psychological Association, sexualization occurs when individuals are regarded as sex objects and evaluated in terms of their physical characteristics and sexiness. So you kind of already touched on the bits of controversy that I had listed down here for the film. You talked about the poster and the marketing that Netflix did. I had seen where they actually apologized for that.
Yep.
Netflix came out and said they were sorry.
we're sorry. We fucked up.
But here's the movie.
You seen the original poster?
Yes. Yeah, it looks like. At first, I didn't think it was that horrible, in my opinion.
The original poster with them in the street and the shopping bags?
Oh, that's the original one? I thought that was the changed one. I thought the changed one was them looking like they're dressed up in their outfits.
The image accompanying this podcast is with its French name, Mignones.
Yep.
And it's them walking in the street, and they've got shopping bags.
That's innocent. And I think that right there is, no, that's not the one. If you look at the poster that Netflix decided to use.
Right, it's them in their dance outfits.
And some suggestive poses. Well, that's, you know, that's using that strongly, in my opinion.
And it's utterly inappropriate. I 100% agree with.
Okay. All right. So yeah, they apologized, changed the artwork. I did hop onto Yahoo, and there were some directors that were defending Cuties against the canceled Netflix campaign and all this. Signatories included Gremlins maker Joe Dante, Tin Drum director Volker Schlondorf, Christian Mungju, who won the Cannes Festival top prize with 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days, as well as Frenchman Bertrand Tavernier and Belgians Lucas Balavaux and Luc Dardenne. They say that the controversy thus organized against this film has a name, which unfortunately punctuates the history of cinema: censorship. Now, you mentioned that the director, and this was quoted in that article as well, that she had hoped to start a debate about the sexualization of children in society today. And from what you've read me so far about what happens in the movie, it sounds like that would be an honorable goal, in my opinion. Now, there was one thing that you mentioned also about the psychologist being on site during the movie. So I watched an interview with a lady by the name of Mary David. This is KTLA Channel 5, 921. This was a couple days ago, September 21st. Mary David was interviewed. She's a sexual trauma specialist. She goes over the parts about child pornography, and they say that the main concern of the court is that the child has been physically or mentally harmed in the producing of the content. Clothing on or off does not matter. It's all about the harm to the child. She says obviously there's no exceptions for artistic value, what the director intended, whatever. And she also mentions that there's a career or somebody out there called a child exploitation consultant that a lot of films will bring in, a lot of directors will bring in, to bridge that gap between what their artistic idea is and what is, you know, appropriate and should be on film. This film did not have that. And she says that Mary David says that that is probably one of the big missteps here when it came to the production of this film, that wasn't there. And she believes that an attorney could possibly argue that the children were harmed in some way. And
an attorney can argue I'm being harmed in yes, this sir. Interview.
And I think that's about it. We'll touch on the rest of this here in a few. She does mention, and I think this is important, she says that you need to remember that while kids are old enough to see a lot of things, many are not old enough to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, again, we're fathers. We understand that coming into this. You know, I see my kid watch something and say something out in public, and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. We gotta dial that back, and let me explain to you why, so they have a good understanding as to why. I just told my son yesterday, I had to explain to him why he shouldn't tell his brother that he wants to crack his neck. And when he said crack his neck, he was talking about like snapping his neck. And I'm like, you shouldn't actually say that to your brother, because he didn't understand, you know, that's not something you should say.
Right.
So, all right, you ready for some film questions, or you got anything to say before we get into this?
Just real quick, just, you know, this is TV Party, and we do talk about plot.
Yeah.
So real quick, the story is about a girl named Amy. She's an 11-year-old immigrant from Senegal. She lives with her mother Miriam and her two younger brothers in an apartment in one of Paris's poorest neighborhoods. They're waiting for their father to rejoin them, and Amy helplessly witnesses her mother suffer as her polygamous husband prepares to return from Senegal with a second wife. Amy is bored with prayer and the religious values in general that her aunt seeks to impress on her. Things turn swiftly as Amy is fascinated by her disobedient neighbor, Angelica's twerking clique Cuties, an adult-style dance troupe, which is in stark contrast to Miriam's religious customs, values, and traditions. The preteens practice for a competition and do not hesitate to adopt revealing outfits in the image of their older competitors. Encouraged by success and the quest for recognition on social networks, Amy decides to incorporate sexually suggestive dance moves into the choreography. A whole bunch of other stuff happens.
It sounds like the gist of it is this kid's kind of got a rough home life, and not doesn't well, sound like there's a lot of
like in at home. She's hearing from her aunt. The best thing a woman is defined by the husband she takes, and the best thing a woman can be is loyal and subservient to the husband. And she's watching her father like take on another wife, you know, and she's just like, all of this sucks.
Yeah.
As an 11-year-old girl, I reject this. I reject all of it. And she's looking outward for an identity. She's looking outward for a sense of belonging. And who doesn't want to be part of the cool kids at school?
Yeah.
And that's what this girl troupe is. Like, they're portrayed in the movie as, like, the cool kids. And she tries to ingratiate herself in that group. And they throw out a girl that's in the group, and they kind of adopt Amy into it. And so the dancing in the movie, there's a handful of scenes where it happens, but a lot of this movie is about Amy trying to figure out her own identity and gain self-confidence, and she's going about it totally the wrong way. She's the one, actually, there's a scene where she's on a cell phone during prayer. She's got the prayer veil over her head. And she's watching videos on her phone, and it's videos of adult women dancing luridly, dancing sexually. And she takes that, and she's like, you know why you guys aren't going to win the competition? Because you're not doing this. And it's humping the floor, and it's shaking their butt, and, you know, and all the stuff that, you know, when you see an adult woman do it, you're like, well, as an adult woman, she made that choice. And this is what men want to see. We are visual creatures, and we want to see women's butts bounce off the floor. I don't think I'm saying anything, like, out of bounds by that. And so she sees that, and she's like, let's do this. If we do sexy dancing that these women are doing, and they're successful at it, then we'll be successful too. If I drop my friend on his head, I too will become heavyweight champion of the world. You see why I made that comparison?
Yeah. There's a bit of difference in the execution of it. I mean,
we'll get to the way it was directed, but I just wanted to, like, that's the background of the movie. That's what this is about. At the end of the movie, by the way, she, on the same day as her father's wedding to the second wife, is the competition. And, like, the aunt's trying to, like, get her to make food for this wedding, and she just runs away from her. And they do the competition in the park. This is, like the big conclusion. So they do this big competition in the park. They're wearing the outfits that you see in the Netflix poster. And it's, you know, it's all the sexy dancing. It's all terrible. And people are, like, you know, there are women in the, like, adult women in the audience, like, booing them, you know, or shaking their heads and showing disgust. There are boys in the audience going, yeah, more of that, please. And then there's a young girl who's trying to see behind her mom's hand. Like, her mom, like, covers her eyes, and she's like, yeah, away with you, woman. I want to look at, this is exactly what I want to see. So there's a contrast there in, like, all the kids are like, yes, more of this. And all the adults are like, ugh, bad choice, gals.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy has this moment mid-dance where she seemingly feels humiliated, and, like, she's, after all the things she's done, not the least of which was taking a picture of her vulva and uploading it to social networks.
Jeez.
She starts to cry and runs off the stage. And she runs home, and the aunt, like, chastises her for looking like a whore. And the mother, like, tells the aunt to get lost, go away. And she's like, if you don't want to go to this wedding, you don't have to. So she puts on a pair of jeans and a regular shirt and everything. She goes outside and she jumps rope, and that's the end of it. All right, so that's the plot. Go ahead with your questions.
Okay, all right. Well, you kind of already answered a little bit of the first question here, which is, I mean, why? Why did you feel compelled? Did you have anything? Obviously, we kind of covered that. We had the the blow up that we had the discussion of that. We thought that it was probably a good idea to maybe have a rational discussion about it. Was there anything else that factored into why you felt you should get in there?
You know, when people got all upset because She-Ra was the gayest cartoon they'd ever seen for children, I felt the need to talk about that too. I am drawn to controversial subjects. And I don't know if I would have watched this movie otherwise, even with the controversy, but that's certainly something that's attractive to me. Like, if people are all... I find that when people get up in arms in groups and form mobs, virtual or otherwise, they've usually utterly misunderstood the situation and are probably in the wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I always want to look and see, well, why is everyone so upset? You know, what is inspiring, you know, whatever the hashtag of the week is. You know, people like to talk about cancel culture, and that's certainly a big thing. And everyone was like, you know, everyone should cancel their Netflix account. You know, as a protest to, you know, them airing this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, with all of that, and this is riling up people that I know and respect their opinions of, what's all the hubbub, bub?
Yeah. There is an article that I saw today that explains that that's exactly what happened with Cuties.
I just posted something to the Rattledge and Broadcasting Facebook page from the Hollywood Reporter that basically people were, like, drawn to the movie because of the controversy.
Exactly. I thought about this a little bit over the weekend and, you know, the question as to why. And if somebody, if there's a lot of people that get upset about something, you know, I look to see, okay, what's the heart of it? Why is everybody upset, number one? But number two, this is a movie that had to go through all of its paces to get onto one of the most probably subscribed to streaming service out there. So if they all made a decision to put that out there, I was thinking, well, okay, it can't be that bad. It cannot possibly be that bad. And if somebody were to tell me, well, it's not, and that's why I thought, well, if Mark's going to watch it, I'll talk to him about it and see what he has to say. Now, that's, again, Mark's not going to change my mind as to whether I'm going to watch it or not, but I understand Mark's need to kind of want to know as to whether this is as bad as everybody is making it out to be. And I'm also on the opposite side of that. If someone handed me a book and it was 500 pages, but it had one picture of the supposed stuff, the bad parts of this movie in that book, and it could be the script, whatever, I wouldn't want to read that book because of that being in it. So it's, you know, I could understand your drive to, like, want to see if it is as bad as people are making it out to be.
Well, you have every right to feel that way. I'm going to give you my personal opinion, and you can take my personal opinion and throw it right out the window.
Okay.
But I feel like that's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, I think one portion of a piece of art that might be disturbing, I mean, if it's illegal, okay. I would draw a line there. If it's, you know, absolutely crosses a line that is illegal, sure, that I get. But I think this was part of the argument that we had in the chat that I was trying to get across. Like, I'm not gonna condemn an entire film for scenes that make me and a great expanse of other people uncomfortable and may even be questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the greater purpose should be served, and I think that's valuable. So I'm willing to tolerate a degree of uncomfortability in order to get to the larger point. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's go to the next question here. What were your expectations going into the movie? Obviously, we had this big controversy. You're like, okay, I've made the decision, I'm going to watch it. Were you expecting all sorts of bad stuff. Did you see the clips and stuff before
you watched the movie? No, I meant to ask you about that. So let me, in the interest of full disclosure, here's part of what happened. I listened to a podcast called Critically Acclaimed, and it's two reviewers from California, Whitney Seibold and William Bibbiani. And I don't always agree with them, but I'm interested in what they have to say, and I like to hear their takes on films. And they're, you know, I think one guy at the minimum one guy went to film school of the two of them. So I respect their opinions even if I don't always agree with it. And Whitney Seibold actually saw the film, and he gave, I don't know if glowing's the right word, but he gave a very positive review of the film, and he did not focus on the lurid dancing. He focused on the greater narrative. And he talked about the dancing, because how can you not? But he, in his review in the podcast, and people are welcome to go listen to that podcast and hear what he had to say about it, you know, he talks about this girl's arc in the film, her dramatic arc, where she starts and where she ends, and what part dancing played and all of that. And he thought the film was well done. You know, he had pretty positive things to say about that. So my intellectual takeaway from Whitney Seibold's review of the film was it's not porn, which sent everybody into a tizzy. I thought I was saying something rather innocuous. Apparently I'm a dum-dum. So to answer your question, you know, what I knew about the film, I first learned from Whitney Seibold's review, and then because of the argument that broke out, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to watch this thing.
Yeah. Well, so you've already explained if this would be something you would have watched on your own. You said no. This is probably something you would have passed over at some. I mean, it had the controversy. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, after listening to Whitney Seibold's review of the film, I had made my decision that the people who thought it was porn and exploitative of children were wrong, and that was enough for me without having seen it. I was like, I trust Whitney Seibold.
Yeah.
And so I don't think at that point I was done with the subject and I was moving on to other things. And stupid me opened my mouth in a chat room and lobster. So
yeah, well, so you turn the film on, you're watching it. I mean, tell me about your experience. Uncomfortable? Tell me about it.
I felt bad for the main character throughout the film.
Was it just you watching it, or did you have your wife sit with you and watch it with you? Or?
No, my one night of the week that I didn't have a podcast, I spent watching this movie.
Okay. All right. Continue. I was just curious.
All by my lonesome, late at night, in my living room.
Okay.
So I went through, I would say, a number of different feelings while watching it. I felt bad for the main character. You know, let's Americanize this. Imagine you grew up in like a strict Baptist house, you know, or a strict Catholic house, and you know, your entire identity is being defined for you, and you're an 11-year-old boy, you'd rebel. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
You know, and so I see that in Amy. I see her rebelling. I see her brushing up against the constraints of the family culture, of the greater culture of Senegal in France. And, you know, you feel bad for her. And I sympathize with her because, I rebelled as a kid, too. They were not nearly this strict. But, you know, I certainly had expectations of me to look a certain way, to act a certain way. And, you know, I'm a punk rocker at heart. I gave the finger to everything and everyone. I hit puberty and, as my father says, turned into a complete asshole.
Yeah.
So I'm with Amy. I'm sympathetic to her. And then, you know, she meets these girls and she sees the girls. You know, the girls represent freedom to her. And you know, like when she meets the lead girl, Angelica, she's dancing, you know, just kind of swiveling her hips and, you know, kind of shaking around, and all you see is her back because she's doing laundry in the scene. They live in the same apartment. And so Amy is sort of watching her dance and sway, and she at one point she's like iron, straightening her hair with an iron, and you know, and then when she sees Angelica and the other kids in school, she sees, you know, they do a thing where they just stand, at one point they all stand perfectly still, and there's like other little boys like running around them with cell phones getting, you know, video of it. You know, just imagine you go to school and you're in this stifling environment at home, and you see people who are free, and you want that freedom for yourself, and so you admire those people and you're willing to do what they're doing because you want the freedom that goes with it. And so I was with her with all of that. Now, let's get to the main event here. Let's talk about when they're dancing.
Okay.
First of all, it doesn't start off that bad. You know, it gosh, where is the line? Because my wife and I were talking about this, like cheerleading routines, girls under the age of 18, and it's all, you know, I must increase my bust and booty shaking and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you know that from your daughter being in dance, and maybe she didn't necessarily, like, her troop didn't do those things, but I'm sure others did. And it's just out there. People are doing it. And that's without even getting into, like, you know, beauty pageants and stuff like that for little kids. Just the dancing part of it. You know, the beginning of it, I was wondering, like, what is everyone making such a big deal about? The dancing doesn't seem that bad. It's as the film progresses, the dancing gets more lurid. Okay. And as the film progressed and the dancing got more lurid, the more uncomfortable I got. I'm like, oh, that's what everyone's upset about. Okay.
That's what I was going to ask. So, okay, at what point did you start to feel uncomfortable?
About midway through. When Amy starts to have a greater influence on the cuties, and she's showing them the lurid dancing, and she's like, no, dick in the dirt, let's go. You know, like, let's grind the floor, let's pump that ass up, and doing all that, I'm like, this is uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah,
this
man.
Is, you know... I all the credit in the world to the actresses for going through it, and I assume they're okay. I hope they are, but I can see how this would be difficult for any young actress to portray. It's not pleasant, and you start to be less sympathetic towards Amy because she's leading them down this gilded path. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the point. So. You know, it's like you watch a movie and the director wants you to feel a certain way, and you do. That's success. That's the marker of a good film. You know, the taking you on the ride that they meant to take you on emotionally. You know, bad films are where you feel nothing. Good films are where you feel something, including negative feelings.
Sure. Do you want to talk about how that was shot? I mean, was it...
All right, so this is the central thing, right? This is what everyone's been waiting to hear. Mm-hmm. I've had to think a lot about this, and I've had to think about how I was going to say this on air. There are some unfortunate lingering shots that should have been cut.
Okay.
From a directorial standpoint, you can get to where she needs to go with just... visually describing the sexualization of girls and women without leaving the camera as... I'll give you one really good example of this. There's a scene where... there's another dance troupe that I think they're older girls, and they're, like, the main competition. They're who the cuties are trying to be. And Amy sees them, and at this point, Amy has done lost her fucking mind, and she... You ever see the movie Jawbreaker?
Oh, it's been a while, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
the scene where the nerd girl who turned cool is like blasting music, and she's on top of the car, and like, mm-hmm. and Rose McGowan like pulls her down. Like, what are you doing? Like, Amy has hit that point where she's just out of control, and she sees these girls doing nothing but just hanging out, beating girls. They're hanging with boys, and Amy goes over there and just starts a fight. And amidst the brouhaha, her pants get pulled down. And you see full-on wide-angle shot of her in her panties. Okay? You see her panties in, you know, you see her butt.
Okay.
And the camera lingers a little too long, and it reminded me of Geely, where, like, for some odd reason, Kevin Smith thought it was just a wazooey idea. I think it's Geely. It's just a wazooey idea to film a little girl taking a piss and just leaving the camera on her for some odd reason. Do you remember that?
I never watched that movie.
Okay.
I've never watched Geely, so I've heard it's horrible.
I gotta look and make sure I'm thinking of the right movie here, but it's
there's Jersey Girl as well.
Jersey Girl, it's not Geely, okay. It's Jersey Girl. I'm sorry.
I've never seen that one either.
Okay, well, yeah, watch Jersey Girl and see a young girl take a piss like two or three times in the movie. It's uncomfortable as fuck. It's like, why? What? I don't know what this is adding to the movie. I don't know why it's there, and why are you leaving the camera on this poor girl for so long, Kevin Smith? That's how I felt watching that scene. And it's like, did we really need to see her butt? Did we really, you know, like what? Like, that's not sexualized. I mean, someone snaps a picture of it, and that becomes the school obsession. And at one point, another boy, like, hits her in the ass, you know, and then she stabs him in the hand with a pencil. And so you need the scene in order to move the plot forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you need the shot. And that's kind of my problem with this entire film, is you need the scenes of them dancing luridly. How luridly and for how long? This needed another pass through editing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that was kind of, I mean, just from the descriptions that I had heard, I was like, here's my problem with the film, is the fact the director made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have those shots in the film. I mean, are you going to say, or would you feel comfortable saying that is any way, shape, or form sexualizing that child?
I don't think the director was purposely trying to sexualize the children in the sense of exploiting them for her own gain. I think she's trying to tell this story, and she's trying to show that this is out there in the world. And, you know, how do you do a movie about a thing and then not show the thing? You know, I think as a director... No, that's what I'm saying. As a director, it's your job to creatively show the thing in a way that isn't exploitive.
Yeah.
And that's where this film rides that line for me. You know, I don't want to call... I know what her intentions were, and I know what she's trying to do. I also know that the rest of the world isn't as hung up on sex as we are. You know, we're the culture that, you know, lines up around the block to watch torture porn, but, you know, you show certain scenes of sex with we'll just stick with adults here. You show certain scenes of sex with adults, and everyone gets all up in arms. True. We are as Puritan now, weirdly enough, as we were 200 years ago. It's in our DNA as Americans. The rest of the world, not so hung up on sex. And I think that's another problem. Is, you know, this film won so many awards and, you know, was enjoyed by so many people in the film community who got it and are not, like, as hung up on sex. And then it comes to America and it's like, burn her! She's a witch! You know, burn the books, burn the films, burn everything! And I think that's where, like, my passion for defending this film comes from my anger at this country's knee-jerk reaction to want to ban things. I fucking hate it.
Well, I understand, but you have to look at the film and those shots and just... You can't let the fact that you're upset about that
cloud my vision of this film.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, what is on the screen is on the screen.
Right.
Okay.
And I've said it's not particularly appropriate.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what the artistic intent is, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It is there, and you saw it, okay, and it is there for everybody else to see, the director made an intent to put that on film and didn't see any problem with it. And that's what gets me about this, is that if that is what is in this film, I don't blame people for being upset about it, because mm-hmm. that should not be there. Okay? It shouldn't. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of other things that you can say that should not be on film as well.
Yeah, I'm really trying to give you your piece and just hold back, but oh boy.
I know, man, because trust me, I've seen the arguments on that side as well. There was a movie called Good Boys, which I haven't seen, but someone wrote like a three paragraph analysis of why is Cuties not okay in this movie was.
Or how about, this is dating myself, but Kids. Now, yeah, Kids, I think, got an X rating, or got a NC-17. And there's a scene in the movie where, you can hear, some kid shaking his dick inside of his bathing suit. But it, there were not massive protests against Kids, from what I recall.
Did you have anything like this in Kids, though?
I mean, you said there's a kid shaking his... You can hear the kid shaking his dick in his
bathing
suit.
Okay, well, you can hear it, all right? I mean, can you see it? I mean, can you see him doing that?
I don't remember enough about... I don't think he pulls out his dick in the rest of the movie, but I don't remember enough more about Kids than that. Like, I think that was, the thing that got them the NC-17.
Yeah.
But I could even be wrong about that, because it's been 20 years since I've seen Kids.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people are just saying this lady exploited these kids by filming
mm-hmm.
this and putting it out there. All right. She filmed a child in their underwear. She put these children in these situations, and she should never have even done that. Talking about it, okay. Inferences and references or whatever. Just like you said, you can get the point across by not doing that. And the fact that she made the decision to do it is what a lot of people, I would assume, are very upset about.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she made this decision to put this on the screen and, of course, cancel Netflix, because they're the ones that looked at it and said, A-okay.
Well, let's just draw a circle around the Netflix thing real quick and then put it away, because I don't want to spend the rest of the podcast debating Netflix's stupid decision. The controversy with Netflix, the controversy about the film itself was made worse by Netflix's decision to change the marketing. And Netflix focused on, instead of what the poster with the children shopping, showed them in these sexually suggestive positions. And they have at least recognized that they fucked up, and they've apologized for it. But I don't know how much. I don't know how much this controversy. Like if it had just been called Mignons and not Cuties, and they used the original artwork and left it at that, and just like, here's among our zillion other French movies we've got, here's another one, and just sort of left it at that. I don't know how big the controversy even would have gotten, because who the fuck is watching French films on Netflix?
Yeah, and that's the truth. I'm not. Definitely not.
Well, and people are like me, there's really artsy people out there, like, how dare you, sir?
Yeah.
But that's my point. Netflix obviously wanted to draw, there's so much in their catalog. They wanted to draw attention to this movie. I would say Netflix exploited this movie and the children more than I would say the director did. That's my opinion. I'm going to look at this and go, I defend this woman, and while I think she made some unsavory directorial choices in the visuals, and I think it needed another pass through editing, as I said before, I'm letting her off the hook, because I think the greater good is served by getting a conversation about how we treat women in this society and what we allow girls to think and do. Netflix has no fucking excuse, and I agree with people chastising them.
there's going to be a lot of people that disagree with you here.
Oh, there. Feel free to disagree. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I think the hardest part for me is just that she made that decision, and she mm-hmm. made the decision to put that out there, and to film these kids in those situations. And it's a rated R film, mm-hmm. right?
Starring, I guess, I don't know. It's on Netflix. I don't know what it was rated.
I believe it's rated R. We could take a look though. But from what I understand, it's a rated R film, and I mean, it's starring 11-year-old children. They're just something that isn't right with that.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about post film. All right. I mean, you kind of already gave us an idea of the tone of the film. It's a drama, obviously.
It's a coming-of-age film.
Coming-of-age film. How would you say afterwards, did you feel that the way the movie was shot and the characters themselves, did they run in any way counter to the message the film was trying to send out?
I didn't think so. I think when the message is we, as a society at large, tend to treat women as sex objects. And the more a woman uses her sex, the greater attention she gets, the further she may go in life, at least some of them do. I think that unsupervised children will get into all kinds of mayhem. And, you know, that's one of the points of the film. And so when it was over, I was like, well, I think this is a good conversation starter. I don't know if it's a conversation I really want to be having. I can just hear in your tone, you know, and I'm not saying you are, but like, if you represent the half of the people who saw this thing and were like, burn it to the ground, you know, I can hear the judgment in any kind of opinion left of, you know, it's an okay movie. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, when it was over, just how did I feel? Anxious about talking about it. A little horrified that you know, unsupervised girls with the wrong idea of how they should be acting would do this. I mean, I knew it was out there, but I didn't need to see it. And be reminded of it. Like, my daughter is such a prude and such a feminist that, like, I don't have to worry about this for a while.
Yeah.
If ever.
Did you have any opinion on, like, Dance Troupes? Was that something that you would never even think about letting your daughter do?
I mean, she did. Lily did dance starting at two or three years old. And she did it for, I think, until like kindergarten or first grade. And she came home one day and she was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I want to perform, but I don't want to learn ballet. It hurts. I don't want to do it. And so she ended up in we changed her out of the YMCA dance program and put her in a performance studio where she does musical theater class. And she's much happier mm-hmm. doing that.
Okay.
So I saw what they called dance, and some of it was pretty ballet, and some of it was more modern, and I don't think I saw anything that was particularly lurid. I mean, the outfits they wear, you know, are tight,
yep.
and they go all the way, you know, up the leg, and, you know, it's like, they're little girls, and I'm there to watch my kid, so I'm not really, I in no way see them as sexual in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
you're also, you know, and when we were talking about this, it's funny because me and you had a spirited debate there.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a week ago. And one of the things that I was saying was that, you know, you watch these kids, you're enjoying the fact that your daughter is having a good time. That's
right.
Mainly why you're there.
Right.
And the difference between you, Drew, between you and this director mm-hmm. was the fact that, you know, you're not sitting there taking pictures or a movie and, you know, shooting it like the director was.
Right.
And
or at all, because I don't think I filmed any of it.
Okay, well, way to go, Dad.
I was there. Good enough. I was actually thinking about when my daughter's done a little bit of cheerleading. Like, once a summer, she attends a local school's cheerleading camp. And it's only like a couple of days long. And then they do a cheerleading performance at, I think, the first football game of the season. And, you know, cheerleading, a lot of the cheerleading routines do ride the line of suggestive and non-suggestive. You know, and it's such a mix. But I think everyone's like, you know, it's teenage girls cheerleading. And unless you're a perv, no one's like, no one's framing it as a sexual thing. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, it. There might be some sexual stuff in there, but God, they're, you know, those are people's like daughters. Mm-hmm. No one's looking at me. Not no one. Who knows who's in the audience? But I would say most people are not looking at it that way. But that does raise the point of it may have been entirely innocent and devoid of any sort of sexual context, and somebody still is sexually aroused by it because they're a disgusting perv.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have no control over that sort of thing.
And sanitization is one thing, and you can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, that's kind of the thing that I wrestled with the most with having my kid in dance and mm-hmm. doing those things. It's just like, you know, look, just like you said, she's as long as she's there, she's having a good time. That's all that matters to me at that point.
You ever see Footloose?
It's been a while, but I know we're going to talk about the was there a preacher in there?
Remember, you know, but that was the whole thing about Footloose. All dance is sexually suggestive, and the more you dance, the further you are from God. And so it was banned in this one town, and that was, you know, the whole thing with Kevin Bacon was like, I must dance, I must be free. Like, I don't want to live in the Footloose town.
No. You know, the plot of the movie, just from what you were describing.
Which one, Footloose or Cuties?
Not plot, but not Cuties. Or no, it is Cuties. That made sense to me. I mean, mm-hmm. I understand completely where the characters are coming from now. Just to find that, you know, way of expressing themselves. We all do it differently as children growing into teenage years.
And that's why I brought up the backyard wrestling thing. Because kids are also dumbasses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, most kids, dumber than shit, and are willing to try any stupid thing.
They do not understand, as she said, as Mary David said. They can see, but they do not understand. And it sounds like a lot of what was going on in that film was the authority figures were failing the kid. And that is sad.
I don't want to slam the Senegalese culture, or at least the part that's being depicted. Uh-huh. So I don't know if failing may be too harsh a word. They are being who they are, and the kid is butting up against it. And I would leave it at that.
Okay. When I say fail, I guess what I mean is that these authority figures should have seen and had a little bit more compassion. Maybe to understand what the kid was going through.
You know, there are plenty of people out there that say children should be seen and not heard. You know, they're not interested in having conversations with kids. That, you know, kids are the, you know, just these drooling beings that they kind of raise up, you know, and they don't become valuable until adulthood, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's complex.
So, you may have touched on this already, but I'll ask it anyway, just because I think it is an important question. Being a father, are you okay with how these girls were being filmed, no matter what the message of the movie was?
Okay.
And, to add on to that, would you have let your daughter act in this movie?
Taking myself... answering from the identity of purely a father and nothing else, not a film reviewer, not a podcaster, not somebody with his own issues with authority and all of that, just as a father, no, it was all gross and disgusting, and I wish this movie had never been made. And would I let my daughter act in it? No. I don't. I think I think the agenda can be accomplished in our own household through talking to the child and being active parents. I don't need her to be in this movie to raise this conversation. As a parent, I'll do that on my own. Thanks. I don't need the movie to do it for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'll give my final words on it, unless you have anything else.
But I don't take this the wrong way, but I hate that question.
I couldn't tell.
Because I'm not just one thing. I'm not just one identity. I'm not just one element of a person. You know, I'm a complex human being, and, you know, and I think a nuanced conversation, there's room for complex ideas to be discussed in a multitude of ways. So when you say, as a father, and I got to throw out everything else, you know, I've spent the last hour telling you that I think this is an important movie made by a woman who's raising important issues, and it's just unfortunate that the movie got dragged through the mud because she made some poor directing choices. And I got to throw all that in the trash because, well, as a father, like, you know, well, like that's all I am, and that's not all I am.
Yeah, but the thing is that fatherhood, the importance of that is that you want to pass your values on to your children.
No, and I get that, but I mean, I can't just watch this as a father. I have to watch this as a whole human being.
Okay. But you wouldn't want the situation that these kids were in to be something that your daughter would try to represent in a fictional sense.
But that's the problem. Like, if I take a step back and I'm looking at this with all elements of my identity, there's a part of me, and this is why I say, like, there's got to be nuance here. Like, I don't want to have this discussion with somebody who takes a hard line stance one way or the other, because there's no room for nuance. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, it's just a wall you're having a discussion with. So it's pointless. And I would say that about any topic of conversation. When, you know, there are people in our personal life, there are people amongst the people that we podcast with who take very hard line stances that they're never going to be convinced otherwise, no matter what you tell them. And I don't want to argue with those people. What's the point? There's no room for discussion there. So so where nuance is concerned, there is a part of me that thinks it would be an honorable thing for my daughter to have been in this movie, because I think the greater purpose needs to be served. I think what we do in this world to women is not good and needs to change. And how do you create change but through conversation and art and legislation? And there's all kinds of things that need to happen. But in many cases, it sometimes starts with some controversial art. And so, on the one hand, do I want my daughter gyrating all, you know, and thrusting her hip into the dirt? Not particularly. Gross. On the other hand, do I want her to be a part of something special that maybe raises, you know, the consciousness of people and makes change? That's honorable. Sure, who wouldn't? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
I do. You've already established that the director took it a little bit too far.
I just would have made different choices. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and the thing is that this director, I assume, what did you say? How many was there, like 600? Was it 600 children? I think it was 600. It was a big number.
650, yeah.
Okay, so these children all auditioned for it. Now, they had a parent that, casting wise, they probably had no idea what everything that was going to go into the film.
Well,
I would assume.
Well, I think the director talked to the parents and said, "This is what we're not during
all
maybe
the ones
not maybe,
that
not during the one not during the audition process." I think once they had the cast, they were like, "Here's what you signed up for."
That's, wait a second now. Hold on just a minute.
Yeah, but nobody had a gun to their head, and they could have walked off the dude, if you get hired for a project and you're like, fuck this, and walk off, like, you can do that.
No,
you can quit.
I'm sure you can, but there's no way the director, I really hope the director would have made a smarter choice and told everybody what they were getting into.
I'm sure, like, before the audition, there was sort of a general, here's what we're doing, there's the door, if you're like, forget it, never mind, you know, you don't need to do this. And then once that they had their cast, it was like, it was more specific.
And I take issue with the fact that the parents, I take issue with the fact that the parents were okay. You know, that's what bothers me about this, is that a parent made this choice for the kid.
Well, isn't that what I just said, though? Like, there are some parents that probably, you know, came away exactly as I did. On the one hand, gross. On the other hand, there's an honorable agenda being served here, and I think we're willing to make a gross sacrifice in order to get the larger agenda out there.
That's fine, but...
Or not. This is France. Who the fuck knows? They walk around topless on beaches. They're not as hung up on sex as we are. These parents might have, like could be listening to, like, this podcast and be like, what are these two Puritan, right-wing, sexually repressed people talking about? Like, what are they making a big deal about?
Sure. But then we get into the discussion as to whether... their idea culturally of, if they're looking at this and they're saying it's okay, and it's just straight okay, no problems, then yeah, you know,
I think it's I'm sure they came away with it's okay with an asterisk.
Okay.
You know, there was a psychologist on set, yada yada yada.
I take issue with the fact that these parents made a conscious decision to do this to their children at 11 years old.
Okay.
That I think they took a choice away from these kids, even though the kids might have been, yeah. We just talked about how, you know, kids aren't exactly, you know, they're
not of the age of consent, and they are not of the age of consent because they do not have fully formed brains. They cannot agree to adult things.
That's right. So you have parents who do that for them,
right.
And that takes things away. You know, innocence away from children a lot of times. So I think there is, for me, I have a big issue with that, knowing that if they knew what they were getting into and they consciously said, okay, yeah, we have no problem with our daughter being filmed, you know, without her pants on. Yeah, I mean, it happens in real life, sure. I'm fine with that, but it doesn't have to happen on film.
Hey, look, you want to pants a kid at the park, whatever. Just don't film it, okay?
Do not film it. Which,
God, I said this to my dad at dinner tonight. I was like, this is like the opposite of like the hooker porn riddle. You know, if a girl has sex with a guy for money, it's illegal and it's immoral. Throw a camera in there and it's porn, it's perfectly fine. You know, it's like, whatever we're doing in the real world is whatever. But if you threw a camera in there, fuck, now you've made a horrible thing.
The problem is, obviously, the amount of... let's say the problem. There's problems all over this. But, you know, you film it, you turn around and make a movie, and then you put it on Netflix to where anybody can watch it. It's just... bad decision making, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else there before I get into my final words? And I'll let you.
No, I think I've said plenty.
Yeah, I mean, the point, like I said, the point of going into this was, I wanted to get your reaction to it because I knew at first you were like, "I'm not even." No, we don't need to talk about this. And then I was like, come on, just do me a favor. If you watch it, let me know. We'll talk about it because I'll listen to you. I'll absolutely listen to you because, like I said, I trust your opinion on things. I trust that you would go into this with a level head. And obviously, if there was something way over the line, you would say something about it. And you did.
So this is hilarious. 85% on the tomato meter from the critics. Want to know what the audience score is?
It got bombed, from what I understand.
14%.
Yeah. I read that where it got bombed. Netflix, I think the subscription at the time of that interview that I watched, which is a couple days ago, it dropped 8%. So that is the impact that it had back a couple days ago. And I've talked to a couple people that yeah, that I know personally that canceled their Netflix subscription because of this. So it's very controversial subject, and I mean, my final words are this: I feel that in a perfect world, sexual identity and sexuality is something that should be acquired naturally by a child themselves. Unfortunately, our world is far from perfect. Okay, we've already discussed plenty of things that happen in real life that, you know, run askew of that, and that that choice is taken away from children way too often. I think in the making of this movie, one could argue that these child actors, their choice was taken away. Creating a film to spur the discussion of sexualization of children, and it's an admirable goal. But when the act of creating the movie involves the intent of sexualizing the children, your message is going to get lost. So that's how I feel about it, Mark Radlitz. You watched the film. What's your final words?
My final word is, this is a film that is pretty polarizing. I was actually just looking at some of the audience things, and like, there's like a whole page of like 5-star reviews, and then I finally found some 1-star ones. And the 1-star ones kind of said what we've said on this podcast, that they get the point, but it wasn't done well. One person called it pretentious, which I thought was hilarious.
I came really close to grabbing some reviews and doing the Winfrey bit with you, mm-hmm. but I didn't do it. I said we got way too much to talk about.
Like I said,
about,
the critics fucking love this thing. Like, yeah, I read a couple of the critical reviews, and they're like, none of them talk about the dancing. Like, they all talk about like the greater point. And that was kind of Whitney Seibold's thing. Here's my 50 words or less. I hope people were entertained by the conversation. I hope I don't sound too much like a moron. People walk away with this, like, he has a whole podcast? What? Who listens to this asshole?
You articulated yourself just fine.
You know, I respect the effort, and I think the conversation is important, and I hope that efforts are made to improve the way that we treat and view women and girls, and we don't focus on some foreign film that made some directorial botches. You know, let's not lose sight of the greater good here. We shouldn't sexualize women and girls. You know, we should not treat them as sex objects. Be better, Jesse.
Those are good words.
Stop licking the television when a half-naked woman shows up.
How did you know, sir? My wife always gets on to me about them smudges on the TV screen.
Jesse, get your crotch off that television. What's wrong with you? We just had it mounted.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that was a good discussion. I mean,
yeah,
I
don't hate you.
I don't hate you either. So let's be friends. All right, well, I guess, what do we got coming up on the Radlitz and Broad?
I was going to say, did you forget how to do this? Plugs!
Yeah, I'm supposed to... You're usually the one passing it to me or something. I don't know. Go ahead, man.
Hey, listen, you're the one fucking this dog. I'm just holding its head.
There it is. Waiting for that one.
Yeah, thank you, Jim Cornette.
Oh, yes.
All right, yesterday, myself and Robert Winfrey talked about all the things, and we may have mentioned the show Kingdom once or twice. I'm like, this will only take an hour, so it's me and Winfrey 2 hours and 10 minutes later.
Nice.
We talked about all three seasons of Kingdom. You were on with myself and Chris Sheehan to talk Punisher the Platoon. Next week, we'll be talking Stars and Stripes by Geoff Johns, the first 6 issues of his, I think it's 13-issue run. And then we're going to review the Stargirl show on the CW, which was taken from that trade paperback. We'll also review Clash of the Champions. And then you'll be back. We'll put away this elevated discussion of French film,
mm-hmm.
and get back to business. BPMD, American Made, on the Metal Hammer of Doom, because it's covers month all month long.
Oh, yeah.
And then from our Canadian office, Andrew Graham and I are going to do a quick overview of the first 6 seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then we'll do a full review of the final season, season 7, of the Marvel TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's what we got going on.
Very good. Well, yeah, you can kind of keep an eye out on the Cosmic Treadmill. I will be making an appearance on the From Claremont to Claremont podcast at some point here in the future, so that will be dropping, but that's really about all the other irons I have in any fires. So
Jesse's gonna do Doom Patrol with me.
That's right, coming up in November.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I heard that second season's pretty good. I haven't gotten into it, but I've heard it's good.
You promised me at least once a week you would stop giving out the ends and come help me out in a podcast. So for that particular week, instead of doing the Metal Hammer of Doom, we're going to talk Doom Patrol season 2. But that's not until November 17th. How about that?
All right. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, Mark, let's get out of here. Take us home.
All right. Thank you for joining us on this discussion of Mignons, otherwise known as Cuties. I'm going to find out, the big problem everyone had with this podcast was I kept mispronouncing the name of the thing. It's called ham sandwich, you fucking retard. I'm going to get a lot of comments from people from France.
Yes, you are. Let's see if there's not going to be too many comments about the film now.
Not about the elevated discussion, not anything about that. It's going to be like, why can't you pronounce words? Be well. I snorted. Be well, be safe, and behave.